It was devastating. Really, really, really devastating.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. My guest this week is Lori Marciniak. Lori is a mother of three and a business professional. She also happens to be my first boss. Lori and I sat down this week and discussed her unique path to parenthood, from troubles conceiving to alternative routes to parenthood and alternative routes to pregnancy. This was a really fun conversation with Lori, and we talk about a lot of things that I didn't know about, like adoption and in vitro. We also talk about the joy of having large babies. If you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, take a moment to go into iTunes, rate and review the show, and hit subscribe. Also, while you're there, share the show with a friend. Sharing the show with a friend really gets these stories out there and helps the show grow. If you'd like to keep up with us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MadeUsPodcast, or you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at MadeUsPodcast. And if you have a guest idea, drop us a line at MadeUsPodcast@Hotmail.com. I also want to take a moment to thank everybody for their continued support of this show. Without your support, this show would be nothing. It would just be me sitting here talking to a microphone, talking to myself, which I do a lot anyways, but people don't need to know that. That's a secret just between you and I. So with all that being said, please help me welcome Lori Marciniak. Lori, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely.
How you doing?
I'm really good.
Yeah? I'm really happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. How was your day?
It was good. My day is always good.
Your day is always good? That's awesome. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am the director of the Curious Kids Museum, the best second career I could have ever asked for the first 27 years. I was an electrical engineer. I have three kids, 25, 23, and 18, and live here locally in Stevensville,
That's Michigan. Pretty neat. What's the Curious Kids Museum?
It is a hands-on museum for kids. The Curious Kids Museum is for kids aged 1 to 10. It's a lot of imagination-type play, but all hands-on. We want the kids to touch everything and to explore and to experiment with, you know, what they could do. There's really not a right answer, a lot of open-ended play. There's also a second location, the Curious Kids Discovery Zone, that's a little more active play. There's climbing walls and climbing towers and water tables and, you know, dance rooms.
Oh, that's really neat. That's awesome for kids. I know my kids love going there, so yeah, it's really awesome. Neat. And you said you were an engineer before that?
I was an electrical engineer.
And where did you do that at?
I worked for Zenith Data Systems for 15 years or so, and then Heathkit.
Okay. And you kind of worked your way up there. I know that.
Yeah, I was president of Heathkit at the end.
Yeah, so I worked under you for a while.
You did?
I worked there for about 5 years with you.
Yeah, you started, I think, when you were 16?
15.
Co-oping, 15?
15. I started. Yeah, I started young. I worked there during the summers, and then I eventually went to co-op, and then full-time, and then I found tattooing, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, you'd blow through your work assignment and then draw on your legs. I remember it well.
That's how it happens. That's how it happens. So from growing up and working with you and working around you, I know that you had a pretty unique intro to parenthood and coming up being a parent with your three kids, and I think that's a really cool story, and I think a lot of people would like to hear it, and I think it would help a lot of people, honestly. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I have the coolest family ever.
Yeah.
Of all the problems we had procreating, I feel like I wouldn't have had it any other way, now that obviously you're on the other side. It's tough when you're going through it.
But, yeah.
So we were married for 7 years or so. And
when did you guys get married?
1987.
Okay. How old were you guys?
23.
Okay.
And we were both 23 because our birthdays are a day apart. So.
Oh, that's right. That's awesome.
So we, you know, no babies and thought, well, you know, about time to start that. We'd had a lot of fun and a lot of traveling and worked for a while and life was pretty good. So let's have some babies. And wasn't happening. And so I had some testing done and they said, oh yeah, that's not going to happen.
Oh really? They flat out told you it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. I was, this will probably be way too much information, nope, but, when I was, developing as a little girl, I don't have like a complete uterus.
Okay.
It's in two halves. So it just kind of flaps in the wind. And so,
oh, wow, yeah,
it's kind of cool. But it's not going to hold a baby.
Okay.
So they just said, you know what, you can do all the fertility you want, and which we had been doing, but they said, you know, as the fertility didn't work, they said, well, let's, you know, do some more tests. And they're like, yeah, that's never going to happen. It just you just can't hold a baby. I'm like, okay, you know, okay. And I don't really care if a kid is biological to me or not. Yeah. I just want to be a mom.
How did you feel about that, though, when they told you? I mean, was it a shock or was it, I mean?
It's disappointing and you feel like, you know, you're broken or something's wrong. You know, every other, you know, I used to always say, you know, how come this is so hard? I know 16-year-olds from high school who were in a cornfield that got pregnant in the back of a car. Yeah. And I'm doing everything, you know, taking temperatures and, you know, doing shots and all this stuff. And nothing's happening. Like, why is this so complicated when it really isn't for some people?
It is really hard. I've had a few friends, you know, my wife and I have been fortunate. We've been able to conceive children. I've had a few friends really go through it and really try and did fertility treatments and tried all sorts of things and couldn't conceive. And like you said, it's really frustrating and sad because I see people all the time and you have people that come in all the time that are like, they have 8 kids and can't support any of them. And here's this loving couple that wants a baby more than anything else and could take care of it and can't do it.
Exactly. And it gets to the point where you don't even want to go to the mall because the first person that's yanking on a kid's arm and yelling at him, you just want to be like, I would do better than that. Now, you know, it's ridiculous because we all get to that point sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, when you're trying so hard and it's not happening, you're just like, I can't even watch anyone have a baby. You know, it's just ridiculous. My very best friend in the world is literally, you know, picking her children's birthdays, you know, conceiving on the day she wants 9 months later for her child to be born, you know, 4 kids later. And I'm thinking, I just want a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And it's no one's fault, but it's, you know, it's everyone's fault at that point because you just feel like, why can't this happen?
Yeah. So. And how'd your husband feel about it?
You know, he's a pretty quiet guy. So, you know, he was supportive, but not, you know, I mean, it was frustrating and, but he wasn't really, you know, into that whole, like, we have to have a biological kid. I mean, the minute we started talking about adoption, everything was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
with your first child, you adopted.
We did. That was quite the process, too. We had started an adoption through a Hawaiian agency, and we were going to adopt through Russia.
Okay.
And so...
a Hawaiian agency, and you were adopting through Russia.
Yeah. They apparently had a line on a bunch of Russian kids, you know, at an orphanage. So we completed everything locally, a place in Kalamazoo, did our home study and did all of the paperwork and things. So we were all set to go. And we were supposed to go to Russia over Thanksgiving, and it's November, and we don't have any plans. We haven't heard anything. We're calling and calling. No one's calling back. So pretty.
You were going to travel to Russia. Holy cow.
And pick a kid. I can't even imagine that process now, because, like, how do you ever leave without all of them?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you can't, but, you know, yeah. I mean, it's not like...
To pick a kid. What are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
It's not like picking a dog out of
litter.
Well,
yeah, what are the, you know, hair color? I mean, do you really... I don't know. That just seems crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy.
But anyway, so we then find out that this agency has closed.
Okay.
Along with about $7,000 of ours.
Oh,
and
no.
We were young and, you know, we had good engineering jobs, but you don't have that good engineering job to, you know, flush $7,000.
Yeah, I don't care who you are. $7,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah, so it was devastating. Really, really, really devastating. And so I just said, I have to stop. Like, I have gone through every medical test.
Yeah.
We've figured out exactly what's wrong. We're trying to adapt. That didn't go well. I just needed some time.
Yeah.
So it's December. This is kind of a really weird story, but
no, I love it. I want to hear it.
It's December, and it's when our grocery stores were still D&W's.
Okay.
And D&W's slogan on everyone's name tag was, "I promise to do my best."
Okay.
And then their name. And in February of that year, this was December, so 10 months ago, my brother-in-law, Charlie, had passed away from a brain tumor.
Okay.
And he was 40 some years old. It was awful, you know, and we were all there and, you know, and trying to be supportive and stuff. So I had just about had it. It was cold and it was winter and we lost all this money and I was just done. And so on my way to grocery shopping one night, I stopped by the cemetery and I'm cleaning off his bawling, you know, cleaning off his headstone. You know, I'm like, Charlie, dude, I'm pretty sure you're in heaven, you know, like,
yeah.
How about a little help from up there? You know, I just can't take much more of this. So I go grocery shopping and I get all the groceries. I go home and I get everything out of the bags and I'm looking in the last bag, there's something in there. And I'm thinking, what the heck did I forget to take out? And it's real little. And I reach down and the kid who had bagged my groceries, his name tag fell off.
Okay.
And so it said, "I promise to do my best, Charlie." That was the kid's name.
Oh, wow. What a sign.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, God. You know, I'm like, I don't want to touch the name tag. You know, it's just a little too weird for me. So the next day, the adoption agency that done our home study from Kalamazoo called and said, would you be interested in a kid from Korea? We have more babies than we have completed home studies.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I thought, I can't. I don't know that I can. You know, I'm just emotionally, I don't think I'm ready.
Yeah.
But I said, let me talk to my husband. We'll take a look, you know. And so we talked and talked and we said, yeah, you know, let's give this a shot and we'll see what goes on. So that was December. Holidays came and went. And then in February, they called and said, hey, we have a baby for you. And it was the 1 year anniversary of my brother-in-law Charlie's death.
Oh, wow.
So it was a little boy. And so we went up 3 days later and got his picture, and that's Kane Charles.
Okay.
So
that's awesome. That's yeah. a crazy circumstance to have it to be, you know, a 1 year like that. And
yeah, it all lined up pretty wonderfully.
Yeah. So I know you said this, and it was super funny to me, is you kind of talked about going to get Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we got his picture in February, and, you know, then they have to do paperwork, and the Korean adoptions, the adoption is complete in Michigan.
Okay.
In the adopting area. So you have to do a lot of the paperwork, but they have to get visas and things to come over here. A lot of countries, the adoption is complete in that country and you travel there.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I always joke that, you know, we're driving to the international terminal in Detroit. And now having had a baby, I always joke that that last check was not near as painful as that last push, you know.
Oh, I can imagine.
So we went to the international terminal, wrote a check, handed them a blanket that we could identify,
yeah.
and off come all these babies. And the one that has your blanket is yours. I mean, you saw pictures,
yeah.
But it's
still,
so weird.
They're little babies. Like, that's hard.
Well, and it's funny because in Korea they're all very small babies, so they come at 4 or 5 months and they look like newborns.
Oh, really?
Except for Kane. So there were 4 little girls and Kane, and all these little girls are dressed in these cute little dresses, and they're all so petite. And then out comes Kane. He's humongous, and he's kind of dirty, and they didn't wash his hair, and he's in a little onesie that doesn't fit him. And I'm like, oh my god, if I get to pick, I don't want him, I want somebody else, you know. But you know, obviously that changes. But yeah, then the first night we all stayed in a hotel. My parents, my husband's parents, all the aunts and uncles, you know, all the brothers and sisters of us, we all were in a hotel because we didn't want to grab him off a 13-hour flight. He has jet lag and his days are not, and nights are mixed up.
Yeah, so you don't just rush him back.
More than a baby. So we thought, well, I'll stay in the hotel. And yeah, about 3 a.m. when that kid, I don't look right because I'm blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
I don't smell right because we smell differently. And that's, you know, what infants know, the smell of their mom. He just cried and cried and cried. And at some point I knocked on my mom and dad's door and I'm like, you have to take this thing. Because you don't have the bonding of it being in your belly, you know. And I'm like, I cannot believe we paid, you know, $15,000 for someone who hates me.
Yeah.
And it was all temporary. But, you know, your emotions are crazy and you've been waiting for this day forever. And, you know, and now this kid is screaming every time he looks at you because you're so wrong in his world.
That's awesome.
He's only 5 months old. But,
we paid that money for this thing. Please take it.
Yeah. That was my loving moment.
Oh, but, that's awesome. And then how long after that did your second child come?
So we started the second adoption process. We were going to, once you have, in a Korean adoption, once you have a child of one sex, you can pick the other sex.
Okay.
So we thought, okay, we'll get a little girl and we'll be good to go. So we were about a year and a half out, and we thought we'd start the process. It's going to take a year or so, you know, and when he's 2.5 or 3, we'll go. And we're up in Traverse City with my husband's whole family, and we're going to just have a family vacation. And I'm sick. You know, I cannot believe I have stomach flu.
On vacation.
On vacation. Have a, you know, 18-month-old. You know, it's just like, oh, my gosh. And then I would get up and eat a little something and go outside by the lake, and everything would be fine. And then the next morning, I'd have the stomach flu again. And never, ever, ever would I have ever thought I was pregnant because, you know, that will never happen. They tell me.
Yeah, you were told it will never happen.
Never happen. I mean, beyond the whole developmental thing, I mean, just nothing works for me. So my sister-in-law said, you're pregnant. I said, you know, that's funny, but no, you know. She said, I'm going to go get a pregnancy test and check it out. So she literally, I think she walked in the door and the thing turned positive, you know.
Oh,
I'm
geez.
Like, oh my gosh. So then I'm like, well, crap, they told me never to do this. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to stay in. It's just going to be like a big disappointment. And, you know, they had told me, you know, when the baby gets to be 15 ounces, you're going to self-abort and it's not, you know, it's just going to be bad.
Yeah. Was there any health issues that you faced or was it more for the baby?
It was just the baby. I just didn't have anything that was going to hold it in. You know, it was just literally nothing. So I call my doctor and he's like, oh my gosh, I told you. And I'm like, well, I know, but like, it's been what, 10 years and I've never gotten pregnant. Why would I think I would now, you know? And so, all right, well, come see me. So I went in and we talked and he says, you know, I just think you need to not think about it.
Yeah. Did you tell PJ right away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he, you know, we did the pregnancy test up on vacation. He's like, oh, for crying out loud, you know, this wasn't. So then I have to call the adoption agency, stop the adoption because they won't let you do that if you're pregnant, obviously. I mean, and you wouldn't want to. You'd want somebody who couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So now it's a waiting game. You know, when is this going to go away? So I have a business trip and I'm in California and I'm drinking margaritas because this isn't going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get back home and the doctor's like, oh, you don't need to take prenatal vitamins. You don't need to do any of the testing. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they're
like,
just expecting it to
exactly. You know, just kind of wait. So if you don't get attached to it, it won't, you know, it'll be easier. Perfect. Until I'm, you know, 27 weeks. And then we start, you know, looking things up. We're like, well, shoot, that's pretty viable at this point. Yeah. Like, at some hospitals, this could make it. And then 30 weeks and 32 and 34. And by this time, it looks like I have triplets. Like I'm gigantic. I'm thinking, how is this giant thing?
Yeah. And you're a little woman.
Yeah, I'm pretty short.
Yeah, you're a tiny woman. Yeah. So.
So at 40 weeks, I'm like, if you don't get this thing out of me, like, you know, I don't care if just pick an orifice. I'll cough her up. I'll, you know, pull her out my ear. I don't care. But this is ridiculous, you know?
Oh, geez.
So I was supposed to only be able to carry a 15 ounce fetus and it would go away. And Miss Hannah was 10 pounds, 1 ounce and 23 and a half inches long.
Whoa, that's a whopper of a child.
That's a toddler.
Yeah, that is a toddler.
Yeah. And she wasn't cute. We had purchased this really cute little brown boy with perfect skin and awesome hair. And out comes, well, you know, I'm about as see-through white as you can be, you know, so out comes this baby all blotchy and curly hair. I thought, oh, it was not exactly my plan of life, you know.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. You're like, what is this thing?
Exactly. And I could have purchased another little brown baby and I'm all good, you know. I don't love him any less, so why not? And and I got to tell you, I was in fantastic shape when we got Kane. And we stopped on the way to the airport, had a glass of wine, wrote a check, picked up a baby, never gained a pound. Life was good.
That sounds like the ultimate, I was going to say pregnancy, but it's pregnancy
kind of. And then, you know, 70 pounds later with a 10-pound kid, I was like, oh my gosh.
That's a monster baby.
Yeah, it was not. And the only other baby in the nursery at the hospital was this 4-pound beautiful little boy.
Yeah.
And people would be, oh, as they'd look across. And I'm like, oh, that's my baby they're talking about. Yeah. You know, it's
we have big babies. My wife and I we have the same children together. So
isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's nice. That's convenient. But both of our children were big babies. And we saw that in the nursery. It was really funny. My oldest was 10'6".
Wow.
So that's a monstrous baby. Mm-hmm. And they put him next to two twins. One was 5'1" and one was 5'2". So my son was larger than these twins. And then my youngest was 9'15", and he was a C-section taken a week early. So he would have easily broke the 10-pound.
Yeah.
And the same deal. They put him next to a baby that was, you know, 4-plus pounds. And it was, you know, like you said, it was this little tiny baby next to this toddler. It's just crazy to see the difference.
And they look wrong at that point. Oh, yeah, you know, because those little ones are so cute and so little, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, and it's funny when you have big babies like that because you have people bring their babies over that, you know, they're like, oh, she just went to her 2-month-old checkup and she's 8 pounds now. And you're like, shit, my baby was never that small.
that was 7 months in utero. Yeah. Exactly.
And then how long after Miss Hannah?
Well, then, you know, you get a little cocky.
Oh,
because you think, you know, well, shoot, why am I spending all this money buying children when I might be able to procreate?
You're like, oh, baby factory.
Exactly. I think I'm a rock star at that point, which I am not, but, you know, I thought I was. So, you know, 3 years of trying, 4 years of trying, we're like, yeah, that probably is not going to happen. So it became I'm really not a terrible person, but it became an economic decision at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so in vitro was covered by insurance.
Okay.
And adoption was not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we thought, let's see what we can do with in vitro.
So, I mean, did you start that way? Immediately did you start with in vitro or did you?
Oh, yeah. We knew that it probably wasn't. You know, the doctor said, dude, you like hit the lottery.
Yeah, that was just surely dumb luck.
Probably immaculate conception or something, you know.
Gotcha.
And they hit the wrong person in church or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Were you in church? I mean, does that?
I don't know, but probably not. But so we decided to give that a shot just to see now that we knew that I could actually hold a baby to term, you know. So again, I got one half of everything down there and then, you know, one that a uterus won't hold it. But anyway, so I thought, well, let's give this a shot. So you give yourself shots in the belly.
Okay.
And you're supposed to make 100 eggs.
Okay. You're giving yourself shots in the belly.
Yeah, every day.
So they send you home with like a hypodermic needle.
Mm-hmm. You go to the pharmacy and you...
And what is it? I mean, it's obviously some kind of chemical or drug you're injecting.
Yeah, it's a... fertility drug that, but it's like super duper wonderful. So you're supposed to just be like the egg producing queen at that point. Oh yeah. I was, so people get hundreds and like you have to watch because if you overstimulate, then you get like 200 and then you could like, it could be really bad.
Okay.
Yeah. I would get like 4.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm not a rock star.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as you're looking at this whole situation and process, you're thinking, man, Hannah really was a miracle. you know, how did that happen? But anyway, so the first round didn't really work. They, you know, it's the weirdest term, too. They harvest your eggs, you know. It's not a pumpkin patch, you know. But anyway, so they take them and they tried to fertilize them. That wasn't really going to work because there weren't enough. So then we tried a second round and we actually got some and they implanted. So you're laying on the table, you know, and I'm 37 at the point. You know, I'm kind of getting kind of old for this whole, process. Not that old, but, you know. But they have a formula of your age and your relative health and then how many they think they need to put in to get one to stick.
Okay.
And the number was always bigger than I could ever produce, but whatever. But there's always that
what
issue,
if?
You know, what if they all stick, you know? So they're like, hey, we got 6 this time. You want us to put them in? I don't know. This is my first time. Like, yeah. I don't know. Sure, why not? You know, that didn't work. So that was round 2. So then round 3... they got 6 again. 4 looked pretty good. So the 2 weren't very good. They grade them. And it's the weirdest thing. They call you and they're like, okay, you have, because they put it all together and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you hope something fertilizes. So they call you the next day and they're like, okay, you have 4 embryos. What do you say to that? I'm like, kiss them goodnight.
Cool.
Like,
cool.
Yay me. I don't know. You know, it was the weirdest thing.
That is a weird phone call to say that you have, they're like, oh, we're just checking out, but we got 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I'm like, and they tell 2 friends and they tell 2 friends, you know, you're hoping they're doing something.
What's
up
happening?
There. You know? Yeah. So anyway, so then they schedule like 2 or 3 days out, you come and they put them in and literally like, I think this should be this most high tech thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, and all these gadgets and stuff, they put them in and then they invert you upside down for it to float up to the right place, I guess.
Okay. Like, it's like a turkey baster and they just kind of squeeze them in there. And
well, it's not quite that, but kind of. But then you have to lay, you know, almost on your head for hours. I was like, okay, this is weird.
That does seem weird.
And then you have to lay down on the way home and then you have to lay down for a week after and, you know, like.
That's weird. Do you think there would be something more high tech than
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Than just to lay upside down, hope it goes in the right spot.
Yeah. Keep your legs crossed. I don't know. So
literally.
Literally. So then, you know, then you wait and you wait and you wait, and then you have to do the blood test to see if the hormone's going up, and it was. And so it was fabulous. You know, you have a pregnancy test and you're pregnant and you think, oh, this is great. And about 13, 14 weeks in, we go on vacation and we learn it's twins. And I was so excited because I mean, from when I was little, 4 kids was always my dream. I always wanted 4 kids. So this 2 at a time, I was going to have 4, I'd be done. And then I begin to lose one.
Oh,
and
no.
Usually when you lose one, you lose 2, except obviously in vitro twins are always fraternal.
Yeah.
So there's a potential that one will go and one will stay. And sure enough, Miss Amelia just kicked her buddy out.
Yeah.
And
So you were pretty excited though when you found out that it could be twins?
Oh, we were thrilled. I was thrilled. It was just my dream to always have 4.
Yeah.
So.
Were you expecting? I mean, the twins don't run in your family, do they?
My mom's a twin.
Is she?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously with in vitro, it's a higher chance because you're putting multiples in at the get-go. So, but it was cool. And then, you know, you start to lose one. You think, oh my gosh, I can't do this again. Yeah. And then she was fine. And then it was kind of the same thing. About a month early, they start checking me and they're like, oh boy, this is going to be a big baby.
Oh, no.
So they, you know, they give you the lung shots, you know, for her lungs to develop and get everything ready. And she was my 8-pound, 4-ounce preemie. She was 5 weeks early.
Holy cow.
They induced, you know, just to, but she was like 19 inches. She was short and chubby. And I mean, it was wonderful, you know.
But she was 5 weeks early and 8 pounds.
8 pounds, 4 ounces. Yeah. Holy I mean, five cow. Weeks early because they induced. I mean,
yeah.
They,
yeah. But still,
they're like, I mean, we have to get this out. They assumed she would be between 11 and 12 pounds. Wow. And I, you know, 10-1 was.
Yeah, they say at the end they can gain a pound a week,
mm-hmm.
which is, that's just craziness.
Yeah.
It's pouring outside.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's going to be a nice
walk. I was sitting here and I'm like, what is that noise? I'm like, oh, it's pouring.
Yeah, that'll be a nice walk.
Yeah. So Amelia was another big baby. I mean, she wasn't technically big because they took her early, but.
She would have been.
But she would have been a big baby.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy. So apparently you produce some big babies.
Apparently, yeah. Once I can get them in there, they like to be there. Apparently, so I don't know. It's so weird.
So, as your kids are becoming older, how much of this process do they know?
I mean, they know it.
So
all.
obviously, Kane knows he's adopted. I mean, that's pretty clear.
People used to ask when he was 5, "Does he know he's adopted?" I'm like, "Oh, every time he brushes his teeth and then looks at mom, you know, like he's brown and I'm not." So
yeah.
That's you know. Oh yeah, they know it all. I mean, it's. I am pretty, you know, I'm that parent, I guess. We used to tease all the time, you know, Hannah would tease, "How come you never yell at Kane?" I said, "Well, because I paid good money for Kane."
Yeah.
You know, why would I don't yell at the car. That was about the same amount of money. She's like, "Well, how much did you pay for me?" And I'm like, "Crap, I think we were drinking cheap beer, probably $6-7, you know." I don't know. But we'll make it up in therapy because you'll hear this story 100 times.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, we got to make it up in therapy. That's mm-hmm. for sure. And Miss Amelia kind of knows her story too.
Oh yeah, and we tease because you know here's two engineer parents who had adopted one child who is probably more like us than our third.
Yeah.
So Kane and Hannah, real academics, real you know kind of overachievers that way in school, and Kane's studying to be a pharmacist. Hannah's a NICU nurse. You know they're all about that science related fields and stuff. And then here comes Amelia, who is this artsy fartsy just singer. You know, how on earth? I can't carry a tune in a bushel basket. You know, where did she come from? So we tease her. We're like, "Honey, you're a main addition. You know, we're probably not real sure you're ours. You know, I don't know." you hope that process is good, but who knows?
Yeah,
you know?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I've got an accident sister that we keep joking. We're so excited because she's finally to age that we can tell her she's an accident. I mean, it's pretty clear she's an accident. But we love the fact that she's an accident. Then we can tell her she's an accident.
Exactly.
Because she was born at the end of my senior year of high school.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
So, I mean, it's pretty clear she was an accident at that point.
Yeah.
I actually was talking about this today. I am almost closer in age to my father than I am her.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's one of those, you know, we don't have any tall buildings, but you'd certainly find one and jump. You know? It's like, yeah, I was born on my dad's 46th birthday.
That is cool.
So on 4/6/64, I was born on his 46th birthday.
So I'm guessing 4 and 6 are some lucky numbers
yeah,
for
you. Yeah, you actually tattooed 4 and 6 things on me
I
once.
I sure did.
So, yeah.
I sure did.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But 46, I mean, my mom is 13 years younger, but I would be like, yeah, no, that's not. Right.
Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard. Mm-hmm. I can't. So I'm 34. I wouldn't want to have a child now.
Right. And wait 12 years and have one?
Yeah.
No.
That's rough. I mean, we had one 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And that's still, I'm 34 and I'm like, I wouldn't do that again.
But in 12 years, he's going to be like, you know, 15, 16 years old. You're good.
You know? For sure.
But a baby?
No, not another baby. Mm-mm. No, we made sure of that, which is nice. Which is funny when you talked about your phone call, because I had that phone call too, and it's funny how their bedside manner on a phone call is not really there. So I had a vasectomy, and when I got the phone call, the phone rang, and I answered the phone, and they said, "Mr. Weaver?" I said, "Yep." I said, "We just want to call you and tell you, you're sterile." And that was the whole phone call. And I'm like, that is the weirdest. Like
what do you say to that?
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job.
High five.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hysterical.
Which that whole story is ridiculous, and I'm going to have a whole different podcast that we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a vasectomy roundtable with a couple other guys, and it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, it'll be funny. So having this different path through parenthood, has it given you a pretty unique outlook on that, or how do you feel about other parents now?
Oh, absolutely. You're obviously very compassionate to people that have trouble. You're very I don't want to say defensive, but you're very aware of people talking about other races. I love people's perspective on race, where they'll say, you know, things that they don't think you approve of another race. And then when you say you have a child of another race and they ask, well, where is he from? And I say, Korea, he's Asian. And they'll say, well, that doesn't count. Why would that not count?
Yeah, how,
you know,
does that not count?
Apparently, you know, he has to be a lot more different, you know, but he's pretty different. But yeah, you know, he's very cool about it. You know, he used to tell kids he's real lucky because he had two moms. And kids, some kids would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, kids grow up, they don't see the difference, you know? So even though I'm blonde hair, blue eyed, he's Asian, he looks very Asian. You know, kids would be like, you're adopted? What?
Yeah.
You know, and I love that because kids, you know, kids don't care. They don't care who you're from. But he would say, you know, I'm so lucky, I have two moms. And, you know, that's super cool. It was always a bigger deal with parents. I remember at elementary school one time, it was Halloween, and they said, I worked all the time, you know, I was full-time employee, engineer. So I didn't go to a lot of the school things. My dad, grandpa went to a lot of things. But when I would go, I went to a Halloween party, and they're, oh, which one's your son? And I said, oh, the hockey player. And one mom goes, she means the Asian. I'm like, no, I meant the hockey player. You meant the Asian.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, you know, I feel bad for him. Everyone's like, oh, my gosh, you probably gave him the best life ever. And I'm like, no, I think he did more for us than we did for him. I mean, if you talk to people and say, you know, maybe we should ship our kids to Korea to be adopted, people are horrified.
Yeah.
But they're okay if they come here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that whole perspective of, I didn't save anyone. I didn't really. He did more for us, you know, allowing us to be parents than we ever did. We ripped him out of his culture. Like, he will never identify with the white community, and he'll never identify with the Asian community.
Yeah, that's
he doesn't
hard.
Know it, you know. So you try as best you can, but we live in Southwest Michigan. You know, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, those kind of things you're hypersensitive to. The girls, you know. Amelia would see a catalog, a Gap catalog with a little Asian kid on it. You know, everybody was Kaney. You know, that's Kaney. That's my brother. You know, and, you know, it's all, you know, all of that is good. My father was in World War II, and, you know, the Japanese were obviously, that was a sensitive subject. So when we told him we were adopting a Korean kid, it was a little tense for a minute, but then they became like inseparable.
Yeah, I'm curious. That's a strange conversation to have to bring forth to somebody, especially somebody like that. That you're like, oh,
yeah. Guess what?
Yeah,
yeah. You're gonna have an Asian grandson. But honestly, Kane became this like 80-year-old little man.
Yeah.
And the people at school, I mean, they were disappointed when I showed up because when Grandpa would come, I mean, he was the funniest, most wonderful guy, you know. And so they had a lot of fun with Grandpa, you know, and never really liked when Mom came, you know. But
yeah.
So, you know, he's it's changed a lot of people, I think, you know, for the better. And, you know, I just feel so lucky. I can't imagine had, you know, our accident pregnancy, I guess, you know, with Hannah, that they said would never happen. And we weren't really putting the effort, you know, with in vitro or anything. Had that happened before we got Kane, I mean, I just can't imagine my life, you know. So I feel so lucky. People are like, oh, my gosh, you went through hell to have kids. I'm like, you know, maybe at the time it was like that, but now I feel so lucky I had all those experiences.
Yeah.
And all those different ways to put a family together. And it's, you know, it's awesome. And we have a lot of fun with it, like I said, you know, teasing the kids. And
I think people that experience that struggle and experience that heartache really have a better appreciation for it and are really ready for it when it comes, more so than somebody that just, you know, is given whatever it may be, you know, whether it's a child or whether it's a job or whether it's money or whatever it may be. Those people that experience that hardship and that struggle of trying and not being able to, I think really find that happiness in it a lot easier.
Oh, absolutely. And you really do appreciate it. You know, we laugh because before we adopted Kane, you know, they had to come to our house and look at the bedroom we'd put him in and look at the rest of the house and see if we had any animals and see, you know, all these things and kind of clear us. And we had to tell them how we were going to discipline our child. Heck, I don't know. I've never had a kid, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making things up and you're hoping it's the right answer. And I'm like, how many people, you know, just get pregnant? I mean, no one asks them if they have a safe place and the right equipment and all of that. And how are they going to, you know, feed them and how are they going to discipline? And, you know, it's a kind of a neat process for a lot of people to go through. And at the same time, it's kind of offensive. You know, you're like, why can't everybody else do this? And you can't. You know?
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because as you say that, you see, you know, someone as yourself, that obviously you put up money to do this and not a little bit of money. You think that if you're really going to go through that, they would probably understand that you're going to take care of this. Yeah. You know, this isn't picking up a dog off the street. This is, you're doing something. You're putting in work to do this. You think they'd be a little more understanding that you're going to care for this child the way it should be cared for, except for the other people that, like you said, that just have babies. They don't ever check up on them. They don't ever do any kind of welfare check or anything like that where they probably should.
Some people for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating and wonderful all at the same time. You know, it's, I mean, we're definitely different people because I always say we got to go through that process as opposed to having to go through it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's just good. And the kids are great. You know, they're every bit brother and sisters than, you know, anyone else's kids. And, you know, and people say things like that, you know, when he'd be little, you know, does he know he's adopted? Who's his real father?
Yeah.
Dude, I could ask half of Southwest Michigan that, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. Why would you ever say that? And how do you know my husband isn't Asian?
No, that's true.
You know, like, why is it always assumed that an Asian kid is adopted?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know. And Kane, you know, he didn't know how to be Korean sometimes. You know, he'd get on his hockey trips and he'd talk Asian, you know, with an accent or whatever, and then sell someone, I'll sell you this for X amount of yen. I'm like, sweetheart, that's Japan. Like, you know, and it just, yeah. You know, it's fun and funny and, you know, it's
that is awesome.
Everything is wonderful. You know, I couldn't imagine doing it any other way now.
Yeah.
It was hard and it was frustrating. It was expensive, you know, it was, you know, and it, you know, Amelia insurance covered a lot of it, but you know, in vitro was just about the same amount of money. So that's, you know, poor Hannah just gets,
yep.
We like those two better, you know?
Yep. $6 beer.
Yeah, exactly. That was a whole six pack, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. You know, you talked about how the kids are really truly siblings and they feel that way. You know, I grew up that way too. I grew up in a biracial household. I have a brother and sister that are biracial, and I got asked all the time about them, and people are like, I'm like, that's my brother and sister. They're like, well, what do you mean that's your brother and sister? I'm like, well, that's my brother and sister. And then I explain the situation. They're like, oh, that's your half brother or your half. I'm like, no, that's my brother and sister. I don't like that term. There's no reason for it. You grow up like that. That's your sibling. You
absolutely
know? And then I see that in your children. I definitely see that. I mean, I see that they love each other immensely and it's awesome.
Yeah, no one needs a blood test to prove that Kane's their brother, you know.
No, for sure.
I mean, he was the first. He needed to accept the girls, I think, you know, more than they accept him. But yeah, it's frustrating, and it's such a stereotypical thing, you know, that people want to separate and they want to, you know, Hannah would have a Marciniak hockey jersey on at Kane's games, and you know, people would say, oh, how's that work? You really think that's your brother?
No, that's
not,
so
it's
rude.
Not that I think, I know, you know. Yeah. And, so it's just, you know.
People are terrible.
Yeah, they really are.
It's amazing how terrible people are and what they say to people like that. There's no reason for that.
And why do you insert yourself in someone else's life? I mean, yeah. I'm sure you have enough issues to deal with.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Absolutely. So if you had any words of encouragement for someone kind of going through some of this, what would you have to tell them?
There's always a way. You know, there's kids out there that need parents. It's not easy, and it might not be where you first look or where you second look, but you can make it happen. And then, you know, also miracles do happen. Hannah certainly is our miracle child. I mean, the other two are a direct result of something we did. Hannah was just truly something that should have never happened. And here she is. So,
and that's awesome.
Yeah. It's so, you know, just keep looking and pray for that miracle. Cause it happens sometimes. So.
Yep. It sure does. And you're living proof of that.
Absolutely.
Even if you have to look in Russia and then somewhere else.
Yeah.
That still floors me, Russia.
You know, we were just really looking for an easy out.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a long process to adopt internationally. And we saw an article about a family that did it pretty quick. We called them. They told us the process. And, you know, maybe the adoption agency wasn't really on the up and up. And that's why they got closed down. I don't really know. But it probably shouldn't have been as quick as they were helping people adopt, you know. So, but you don't think about that. Like, you are so desperate that it's just, you know, let's do that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Lori, thank you for joining me tonight. I really appreciate you. And I appreciate you telling us this story. I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Thanks, Zach. It was fun.
Thank you.
made us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. On today's special bonus episode, I talk to the one and only Maddox Weaver. If you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, take a moment, subscribe in iTunes, give the show a rate and review, and share it with a friend. It really helps the show go a long way. So without further ado, please help me welcome Mr. Maddox Weaver. Maddox, how was your day today, buddy?
Good.
Good. You know who the real host of the show is?
You.
Yep, that's true. Are you excited to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why did we bring you here today to talk?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Mm-mm.
Are you the new host of the show?
No.
You're not the new host of the show? Who should be the new host of the show?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. Do you think I should talk to that guy from Truth and Justice?
Yeah, you should talk to Bob.
I should talk to Bob?
I mean, this is his own studio, though.
Yeah. So I should probably talk to Bob, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
No.
Maybe one day I'll have him on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Do you like school?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, so you just learned to ride your bike.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
It's like the best thing ever.
It's the best thing ever?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made you, is learning how to ride your bike?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much? Where do you like to ride your bike?
I just like to ride it around the block.
Yeah, just around the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and see all your friends?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like riding the bike to school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with no training wheels. You know, I should have, since I can like take bolts and stuff off, I should have took the bikes off of my old one.
Yeah.
And then remove them with the others. And then I can ride the other, my giant green bike with off-road wheels.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad idea, though.
That's not a terrible idea. What do you think we should do to get Sagan to ride his bike?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
I think we should, like, show him how to ride his bike. Like, get all my friends in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Someday. And then, like, show him how to ride a bike.
Yeah. We should do that.
When he turns four.
We should do that.
When he turns four, because Mia's...
You gotta talk into the microphone.
Because, I forget what I was gonna say.
So you like to ride your bike around the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you like riding to school?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're gonna wrap it up. Maddox, if you had anything to tell anybody, what would it be?
I have no idea.
Okay, you have no idea. That is a great answer. Let's try that again. If you had one thing you wanted to tell somebody to make their day better, what would it be?
Just to make friends.
Just to make friends, you guess? That's a great thing to end on. Thank you for joining me today, Maddox. It's been fun.